welcome once again to Nashville Anthems, dissecting 80s and 90s country music. I'm your host, Melton McManerberry, and a big shout out to Jody and the Collard Greens for supplying this episode's theme music. On Nashville Anthems, our task is to search the halls of 80s and 90s country music, hoping to find exactly what it is that makes this era and genre of music work so particularly well. And we do that by losing ourselves in the songs played on satellite radio's 80s and 90s country station, one at a time. Today, satellite radio has directed our attention once again to frequent Nashville Anthems subject, powerhouse duo Brooks and Dunn, and their 1992 hit, Lost and Found. So, if you haven't already, why don't you go ahead and pause me now and give Lost and Found a close listen or two. And now, let's get into it. Let's start as we always do by giving credit where credit is due, courtesy of our good friends, Wikipedia and Billboard. Lost and Found was written by the Kix Brooks half of Brooks and Dunn, along with the duo's producer and frequent co-writer, Don Cook. That's kind of interesting. I made the point early on that Brooks and Dunn can be thought of as at least as much a songwriting duo as a vocal one. But we seem to be getting the exceptions on Nashville Anthems. Both Neon Moon and Boot Scootin' Boogie were written by Dunn without Brooks, and now we get to Lost and Found, which was written by Brooks without Dunn. Moreover, Kix Brooks sang the lead vocal on this one, something that's quite rare for Brooks and Dunn's singles. But we'll get more into Kix Brooks' voice and style versus his duet partners later in the episode. And so I mentioned that Don Cook was Lost and Found's producer. He, in fact, co-produced it with Scott Hendricks. That's typical for Brooks and Dunn, at least early in their career. Lost and Found was the fifth and final single from a monster country album that we've talked about a couple of times already here on Nashville Anthems, Brooks and Dunn's 1992 debut album, Brand New Man. It was, in fact, the only single from Brand New Man not to top the U.S. country chart, peaking at number 6 toward the end of a standout year in country music, 1992. Here's what beat it out. You ready for this lineup? Number 5 was Clint Black with Burn One Down. Vince Gill was at number 4 with Don't Let Our Love Start Slipping Away. Number 3 was Alan Jackson, She's Got the Rhythm and I Got the Blues. And number 2 was a Tanya Tucker ballad, Two Sparrows and a Hurricane. Remember that one? And at number 1, newly crowned movie star King George with a great one, I Cross My Heart. See what I mean? Just for fun, the rest of the top 10 were Alabama's I'm in a Hurry and Don't Know Why, Hal Ketchum's Sure Love, and Garth Brooks's No Relation, Somewhere Other Than the Night. Yeah, those are some Nashville anthems. But back to Lost and Found, bit of an overshadowed cut in Brooks and Dunn's catalog, perhaps, considering the company it kept on Brand New Man. But I think if we seek, we'll find that this is a great little country song that stands on its own all day long. So let's dig into the details. Let's get into the song itself and find out at least what I'm hearing in Lost and Found that makes this song what it is. First off, this song is catchy. By that, I'm really saying it's chock full of hooks. So catchy, so hooky, the song is practically one long hook. And specifically, I want to point out how the song just keeps going where it seems it ought to go musically, and how the lyrics all sit effortlessly in the song's melody. Let's start with this naturally flowing music. Now, instrumentally, it's Brooks and Dunn, so it's going to be pretty unabashed neo-traditional honky-tonk. But as is also typical with them, their version of honky-tonk tends to have a bit more rock and roll sheen than, say, Randy Travis or Alan Jackson. It's not quite Garth Brooks, but it does tend to have a bigger sound, with crisper production, loud and proud guitars and rhythm section, and a piano helping out on the rhythm and brightening up the overall sound. But I know she's been here lately. I can still smell her perfume. Also noteworthy, steel guitar is there, but the honky-tonk fiddle is typically absent from the mix in Brooks and Dunn, and that's the case here as well. So in the context of the song's catchiness, you really get all that right at the beginning of Lost and Found. The stylistic table is set up front on a song that does provide some contrast through its verses, choruses, and bridges, but not a whole lot. The energy of the song is fairly constant, but when it works this well, why shouldn't it be? But listen to this intro, how the assertive percussion brings us in, the full rhythm section starts driving immediately, and the dueling electric lead guitars give us the hook, before Kix Brooks cuts immediately to the chase as his vocal comes in. highlight this driving rhythm. The drums, percussion, and acoustic rhythm guitar all share the duty of constantly, relentlessly propelling the song forward. The beat is a quite straight 4-4, no swing, and really no syncopation either, at least through the vast majority of the song. It's actually similar to Seminole Wind's rhythm, though the tempo is significantly slower. But both songs have this straight, driving beat that, as we noted in the Seminole Wind episode, feels like seeking. Shout out to Smoky Mountain Rain for a similar subject matter and similar rhythmic effect also. This rhythm has the frantic energy of the needle in a haystack kind of search this protagonist is on. The connection is the relentlessness. This rhythm won't back down, and neither will this protagonist. Like in Smoky Mountain Rain, he's short on clues but high on will. Since he doesn't know where to look, his only chance is just to keep looking. Now, a specific aspect of the particular energy of Lost and Found's searching rhythm shows up in how the backbeats are handled. There are three different backbeat styles in this song. In the first half of the verses, the backbeats are light rim shots, pretty buried in the mix.
I lost her trail on a Friday night. She was gone before I got home.
In the second half of the verses, and in the bridge for that matter, the rim shots stay on beat two, but beat four becomes a much more prominent and assertive snare hit.
I've been up and down these city streets for three nights in a row.
So those heavy backbeats on four only tweak the energy level up a bit, adding some anticipation. You feel like something is coming, right? Moreover, it just feels right. Such great instincts by that drummer, whoever came up with that idea. The second half of the verse needed a little something. Not much, just a little. This is not a song where roller coaster drama would make sense. This is a song about keeping going, always thinking about what's next, never what just happened. And that backbeat alteration halfway through the verse is just what the rhythmic doctor ordered.
Who's taking her for a ride? And her unpredictability's what I love.
The third backbeat style, by the way, is the traditional snare backbeat on 2 and 4 that's in the choruses of this song.
Look at you like you've lost your mind. Say they haven't seen a thing.
All right, now let's look at the chords and melody. So this is a classic three-chord country song, 1-4-5, in the common country key of E. So lots of E, A, and B chords. With Kix Brooks's melody staying mostly between here, that's the F sharp above middle C, and here, that's the C sharp, a fifth above that. He does stretch down to the B below middle C in the verse, and up to the F sharp way up here in the bridge. But for the most part, especially in the chorus, where we're going to focus our attention, Brooks stays in this nice, bright, comfortable baritone tenor range, with Ronnie Dunn's tenor harmony filling things out more up in this range. So it's all about flow here, and we could absolutely examine the whole song from this angle, because the whole song does this. But in the interest of time, as I said, let's focus on the chorus, really just the first part of the chorus, the song's main hook, the reason that once it gets in your head, it keeps repeating and won't get out, in other words. So what I want to point out here is how this chorus is simple 1-4-5 chord progression and comfortable melody. While managing not to be completely predictable, it still flows very naturally. First, the vocal pickup into the chorus, which starts this hooky song's main hook. The verse ends on the one chord, E, where the melody has resolved. And this pickup transitions us into the slightly amped up chorus, with the kind of subtle percussion change that we noted earlier, and the harmonic shift of starting with the four chord, A, with the melody up here on the C sharp we talked about, the third degree of the A chord, and the brightest note that Brooks could sing in this new musical moment. So we need something to get us there, both harmonically and melodically. And this is how Lost and Found does it. Harmonically, the E chord that ends the verse pretty much rings, with one exception, as Brooks sings,
it's kinda like a...
That's E, G sharp, B, G sharp. or he kind of scoops into that first G sharp. So you can throw the F sharp in there as a grace note if you want, like this. It's kinda like a... You may recognize E G sharp B as an E arpeggio, basically the notes of an E major chord. And that F sharp grace note takes it a step further from an arpeggio into almost an E pentatonic scale. Books a C sharp melody note that this leads into, in fact, makes it fully pentatonic. As we've discussed before, pentatonic melodies are bright, they are sing-songy, free-flowing kinds of melodies, natural feeling. And this is a great example. It's kinda like a love. Back to the harmony, this is all over that resolved and sustained E chord that ends the verse, as I mentioned. While the chord rings out, we have an emphasis on beat 4 in the percussion and bass guitar, at the same time as the top of that vocal pickup, with the bass guitar shifting up from the E on the root of the chord to the G sharp on the third degree. This is a natural move on bass. As you shift from a one chord to a four chord, you'll often throw the third degree of the one chord in because it's just a half step below the root of the four chord that you're going to, and so it leads naturally into it. Listen to the bass play this note on beat 4 under the vocal melody when it gets to this note. It's kinda like a love. So you can hear how strongly the song is suggesting this by that lead-in, right? It does not let us down. That's just where it goes, as Brooks sings this note or this chord. How satisfying is that transition? When she gets the urge to go, it's kind of like a loss. That's really Lost and Found in a nutshell. Musically, Kix Brooks and Don Cook just had a Beatles-like instinct for where to go measure after measure on this song. It's fantastic. So let's keep going. Now, one thing about this song, structurally, it sticks pretty faithfully to neat little four-bar phrases with logical felt breaks and transitions happening at the typical places, like after 8 bars and after 16. And along with that, the chords basically change every measure on the measure. And all that's a lot of what gives the song its natural, free-flowing feel. But that's not to say it's predictable, but it is unforced. The melody, chords, and timing all naturally fit together, with the lyrics sitting well in all three. Actually, let's back up a second and notice that in the lick we just examined. Brooks sings the words, "It's kinda like a." The natural cadence there, if you just speak those words, is, "It's kinda like a." Note the evenness of the syllables in terms of timing and the emphasis on the syllables kind and like. It's kinda like a. So again, here's the melody there. The notes are evenly spaced eighth notes, and with the musical emphasis here and here, right on beats 3 and 4. Beat 3 being a naturally strong beat in a 4-4 measure, and beat 4 being emphasized by the bass and drums, as we just talked about. It's kinda like a... See how naturally those words fit that melody? It's kinda like a lost and found in a... That's Paul Simon level of natural flow in lyric and melody right there. But back to this hook. So far we have... It's kinda like a lost and found in a border. All right, listen again, and listen to how Ronnie Dunn's high, soulful harmony complements Kix Brooks' lower, grittier melody. On that phrase, lost and found, Brooks is singing here, that's C sharp, and Dunn is singing here, that's E. It's kinda like a lost and found in a border. Now, there's three-part harmony going on there. Someone is also singing an A to fill out this triad. But this is a duo, and the emphasis is definitely on the interaction between Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn here vocally. It's kinda like a lost and found in a border. I'm going to get sidetracked here again, but let's take our cue from Lost and Found and just go with the flow. Part of the reason Brooks and Dunn worked as a vocal duo was very much the same reason that the Judds worked as a vocal duo. It's the nice contrast between the two vocal styles. Lost and Found is a great place to examine that, because it's one of the few Brooks and Dunn singles where you get to hear Kix Brooks' voice in isolation. I lost her trail on a Friday night, she was gone before I got home. And it's the same for both Brooks and Dunn and the Judds. The primary lead singer is the sultry, soulful voice, and the primary harmony singer harmonizes lower with a grittier, earthier vocal timbre. Well, I'm a one man. Here in Lost and Found, of course, the lead and harmony roles are switched, but the respective timbres and the relative harmonic positions are the same. Brooks is still providing his fun, down-to-earth grit on this melody, while Dunn manages to skew this earthy song sublime with his rich tenor harmony.
She's out there somewhere, burning up the night.
There's something about 80s and 90s country music more broadly in there, isn't there? Especially the 90s neo-traditional honky-tonk movement that Brooks and Dunn dove right into the middle of. It still has the earthiness of traditional Hank Williams-style honky-tonk, but it's like we were saying before, there is a sheen on this music, a loud, shiny, crisp, epic quality that embraces the big stage where it's now being played. It's traditionalism, but it's neo-traditionalism. And I have to say, I think I hear both in Brooks and Dunn's harmony and in their music more generally. But back down to earth. After the 4-chord that starts the chorus proper, the song leads quite naturally into a 5-chord that's a B, as Brooks descends pentatonically down from C-sharp through B, G-sharp, down to F-sharp.
Lost and found in a border town.
And what's the next chord going to be? After 4 and 5, of course, it resolves to 1 on the 3rd bar of the, of course, 4-bar pattern that houses this hook. But it's a false resolution, and here's where the song turns slightly left on us while staying in its lane. It's the most ironic line in the song, really the line that highlights the irony of the whole situation, as the harmony unresolves back up to a 4-chord, and the vocal strays for the first time from the E pentatonic scale, landing on the root of the 4-chord, the note A.
You're asking about it, I'm afraid.
It's not predictable, but it's natural. You didn't know it was coming, but once it got there, it felt like where it was supposed to be. It's the 4-chord you never knew you needed.
You're asking about it, I'm.
All right, here's the whole thing. Listen for the smooth pentatonic pickup, the sublime earthiness on the 4-chord that starts the chorus proper, the natural flow toward a false resolution on the 1-chord, then the slight left turn both harmonically and melodically to emphasize the absurdity of the ask in this situation.
It's kind of like a lost and found in a border town. You're asking about it, I'm in rain.
Oh, and listen to the way the lyrics sit in this melody, too. Say the whole thing, like you're just naturally speaking. It's kind of like a lost and found in a border town, asking about a diamond ring.
It's kind of like a lost and found in a border town. You're asking about a diamond ring.
A couple more times, just for good measure. Keep listening. This is such a great hook.
It's kind of like a lost and found in a border town. You're asking about a diamond.
All right, we got to move on. You're welcome, by the way, for having that hook on repeat in your head for the next month. But let's get into the lyrics, because for me, lyrically, Lost and Found is pretty singular. Really an interesting subject for Kix Brooks and Don Cook to tackle, not something you hear every day. In Lost and Found, we get the perspective of a fairly helpless man literally looking for his runaway significant other, a woman who, the song implies, has done this type of thing before she does something irreversible. So, to start off with, I actually do want to take the time to lay out exactly what this song is describing. And the reason I want to do that is, for Kid Melton, back in 1992, when this song was popular, the meaning of the lyrics was a mystery. What is kind of like a lost and found? A lost and found what? Who looks at you like you've lost your mind, and what does a diamond ring have to do with anything? Most of you, of course, completely understand this song, but just in case there's another Kid Melton out there scratching his or her head, here's what's going on. Part of the potential confusion is in the title. It's for me a weird choice to name the song after the simile, so I think that just confused me as a kid. But Lost and Found refers to the place, a lost and found, where people take stuff they find that looks like someone else had lost, so the person who lost it can come back and claim it eventually. Stick one of those in a border town where a lot of people pass through and thieves can easily get away, and you get a feel for the absurdity of walking into one and asking if they have a diamond ring. The people at the Lost and Found look at the asker like he's lost his mind, because obviously a diamond ring isn't going to stay there long, and the first drifter who walks in is going to claim it's his or hers. So looking for and asking if anyone has seen this protagonist's lost lady in this busy city, probably not in the best part of town, is kind of like that. It's not even looking for a needle in a haystack. It's looking for a needle in a haystack that is incentivized to keep the needle concealed. You can see Kix Brooks going into every seedy establishment in this city, asking if anyone has seen his wayward lover, describing her attractiveness and appetite for fun, and getting the same look back as the border town man who's lost his diamond ring. It's like, good luck with that, man. So let's highlight a few things about the situation that the song describes lyrically. First is the type of woman this is. In the first verse, she's described as restless. In the second, she's unpredictable. In fact, that's a defining attribute for her, the one that the singer loves best. She's desirable, that's why the diamond ring comparison makes sense. And per the chorus, she gets crazy on a full moon. So we get the picture, right? And also key to the dynamic between these two lovers is that running away is a common occurrence with her. Notice how he says in the first verse that it's hard to find that girl when she gets the urge to go. This is the sort of way you would phrase that if she's done it before, right? But you don't get a hint of criticism in all this. Again, her unpredictability is just what he likes about her. The sense is more that this sort of thing is inevitable, part of the deal when you're with her, if you will. But the stakes... That's why the song has a sense of urgency rather than resignation. Again, like Ronnie Milsap in Smoky Mountain Rain, he's got to find her. In this case, before she does something, not she'll, but he'll regret. That's a nice turn of phrase by Brooks and Cook. The sense, again, is that she's a bit of a loose cannon, not necessarily someone who thinks about consequences, but he sure does, and he recognizes that some of what she may do can't be undone. So while this sort of thing happens a lot, the danger is quite real. And while the search is urgent and diligent, the overarching dynamic here is the man's helplessness. His, I know she'll be coming back, her car's waiting right outside, self-assurance sounds more like trying to convince than trying to remember. He doesn't want to think about who's taking her for a ride. We've seen this character before, right? There's some lovable loser in here, a la Long Neck Bottle, Honky Tonk Man, and even on the other hand. In each case, the man talks like he is powerless to overcome the forces of vice in a way that's, well, relatably pathetic. And there is some of that here. Because listen closely to the first verse of Lost and Found and tell me this. Why did she run away? Yes, her personality predisposed her to do such a thing. But what was the immediate cause of this current episode?
I lost her trail on a Friday night. Gone before I got home. She'd been getting restless in that big house all alone.
Did you catch it? He lost her trail when? And she was doing what at the time? Right, spending the night alone in their big house. So what does the song imply he was doing? And there it is. This guy's no helpless victim of circumstance and fate. Maybe she wouldn't run away by herself at night if he would take her out with him sometimes. We have now another version of what the wayward man saw when he arrived home after calling ahead, asking Mama if Daddy could come home. Instead of the sassy dress down of I'm going to hire a wino to decorate our home, it's closer to the lipstick letter across the mirror. But it's really neither of those, right? She's not leaving out of spite. It really has little to do with him. She's gone out because, well, she likes to go out. So isn't that an interesting twist on some of the country music tropes we've been seeing? And again, we see a particular flavor of female empowerment here as well, as the man's oppression backfires on him and leaves him asking silly questions of shady people who simply reply, we haven't seen a thing. And that's what I'm hearing in Lost and Found, a great song that it was a delight to dig around in to see what we could discover. But enough about that. It's time now to find out what song we'll be looking at on the next episode of Nashville Anthems. To that end, I'm going to pull up Satellite Radio's 80s and 90s country station right now and see what's playing. Oh, we have a great one from John Anderson, Another song that's lyrics when I was a kid confused me. The song is Straight Tequila Night. I look forward to getting into that one with you in 2 weeks. In the meantime, you know how to find me. Just look for Nashville Anthems on Instagram or Facebook, and let's connect. Thanks so much for listening, and please don't forget to tell a friend about us. Bye now. I gotta go. I can't find my keys.